Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu unserer heutigen speziellen Podcast-Folge. Am Fibel gibt es viele spannende Projekte, nationale und internationale. Viele von Ihnen haben inzwischen auch das Format des Podcasts für sich als Medium entdeckt. Da diese Projekte teils sehr spezifisch sind, eignen sie sich nicht immer für unseren Fibel-Fokus-Kanal, aber wir möchten sie euch natürlich dennoch nicht vorenthalten. Daher findet ihr diese Folgen nun auf dem neuen Podcast-Kanal Fibel Collaboration. Schaut doch einfach mal vorbei. Den Link dazu findet ihr auch in den Shownotes. Als kleinen Vorgeschmack, was euch auf diesem neuen Kanal erwartet, hier die erste Folge zu dem Projekt BioFruitNet in englischer Sprache. Habt aber keine Sorge, trotz des neuen Kanals geht es bei uns auf Fibel Focus weiter wie gewohnt. Und alle zwei Wochen gibt es für euch eine neue Folge. The BioFruitNet Project is coordinated by the International Farmers Association Naturland and carried out in collaboration with 15 partner organizations representing 12 countries in total. They have worked together for 3 years to provide information to the farmers to tackle challenges of pests and diseases in fruit crops. In this first episode, host Sophie Tanner talks with Michael Friedli from Fibel Switzerland, Elicio Melusa from Inhort in Poland, and Claude-Éric Pavot from Grab in France about tree row management.
Hello and welcome to the first podcast episode of the project BioFruitNet. My name is Sophie Tanner and I'm meeting online with three experts on organic fruit farming. Elicio Melusa from the Research Institute of Horticulture in Poland. Hello, Elicio.
Hi, Sophie.
Claude-Éric Pavot from GRAB, a French Association of Organic Farmers and Scientists. Hello, Claude-Éric.
Hi, Sophie.
And Michael Friedli from the Research Institute of Organic Agriculture Fibel in Switzerland. Hello, Michi.
Hi, Sophie.
So the first question is for you, Elicio. Why is tree row management important for organic fruit farming?
There are several functions that can be, let's say, performed by managing in a correct way the row in an orchard. In general, the first is about weed management, so the reduction of the competition, the weeds that we have in the row mainly. But there are also several others that we believe are also eventually also more important, and one of them is about increasing the orchard biodiversity. And this concerns both the above ground and the below ground diversity. So, for example, living mulches can host beneficial organisms, for example, predators, that could support the control of pests on the trees. Or they can also support pollinators, for example, so the bees, when there is still not enough food or not enough flowers on the trees and the pollinators are already there, so they can be supported by the living mulches.
Elicio, before you continue, maybe you can explain what living mulches are. Maybe there are listeners that are not familiar with this term. Maybe you can explain.
Oh, you are right. I mean, we thought that it's a terminology that everybody knows, but maybe it's not correct. Living mulches are like mulches, but which are made of living plants. So they are, instead of having, for example, a mulching made of organic matter or a mulching made of some tissue or not tissues, you know, this plastic mulch, we cover the row below the trees, so with the plants, which we select. So it's not the normal cover with the natural population of weeds normally, but it's a cover with some specific plant or plants which we select for specific purposes.
Can you give me some examples here? So what are specific purposes of living mulches?
Sure. This is what I was mentioning. So it's about the control of the weeds, for example, or for increasing biodiversity. So when, and then I will give you also some real world, let's say, examples about that. But I wanted also to mention, because I mentioned about the above ground biodiversity, so hosting the beneficials or hosting pollinators, but it's very frequently we forget about the below ground. So I mean, what is happening in the soil, which is also very much important from the tree point of view, because we found in several different occasions that we could modify a little bit the composition of the population in the soil of both small organisms like fungi or bacteria, or even bigger ones like nematodes, for example, having reduction in the amount of the plant parasite nematodes and an induction or an increase of the beneficial nematodes that are present in the soil. But I think what is also very important, maybe here we can also ask the other two colleagues to give an opinion, it's about the improvement of soil fertility. Because if we use leguminous plants, which are able to fix nitrogen, I mean, the atmospheric nitrogen to fix into the soil, we can definitely improve the fertility and also reduce what is the need of external inputs, even in organic farming with fertilizers, because we have the nitrogen already there fixed by the leguminous plants. What do you think, Claude-Éric, about that?
Yes, Eligio, thank you. Yes, we have a nice trial that we have set up more than 10 years ago now, and it was in a peach orchard, and we have sown in the tree row white clover. And we compare this treatment with a classical management of the tree row, which is tillage in organic farming. And we have applied this clover on the tree row, and we have observed the nitrogen available in the soil. And after 1 year, we were able to decrease by 2 the quantity of nitrogen of fertilizer applied in the treatment with the clover because of the release of nitrogen done by the clover. And we have observed, we have done this during 5 years, and we have followed the impact on the yield and the fruit quality, the fruit size. And we have observed that there is no difference. So the conclusion that it was possible by using this kind of living mulch of white clover to decrease the amount of fertilizer and without any impact on the yield and the fruit size. So it was really interesting and promising. And it was also a way to quantify the amount of nitrogen released by the white clover. But unfortunately, we have also to precise that it was difficult to keep the white clover on the tree row. And we have to sow again the white clover every 2 years, 2 or 3 years, so it means 2 or 3 times during the lifetime of the trial, because white clover was not really well adapted to our climate. We also have to manage to see how to manage this white clover. For example, do we have to mow it or to adapt also the water supply? So it was the first trial, so it was difficult to be perfect for the first time on all aspects, but it was really promising concerning the release of nitrogen and the services provided by this leguminous.
So yeah, we also at FIBL, we also have done some trial also in previous years, and just recently we also finished core organic project Domino, where all different European partners were also involved in the trials, also Eligio's group was involved in it. And at FIBL, we more or less had some kind of a demonstration trial in an apple orchard, organic cultivated apple orchard. And there we also tested different plant species. And I think I have made similar experience as we just heard from Claude-Éric. So we tested wild strawberry, then also clover, grass, clover mixes, and other plant species like 2 different Hieratium species. And what we also have tested is the plant use really plantlets and not seed in it, because this can also be sometimes a little bit different. And we also have seen that some of the plants, they can stay or have quite a good durability, so they stay for a longer time. But for some species, we also have made this experience, as Claude-Éric said, that somehow we have to renew it. And maybe also some additional point that we also observed is because we had quite a young orchard, and in one part, and then the other part were an older orchard with bigger trees. There we also have more shadowing. And there we also have seen that some plant species, they can better perform with less light or with more light. So this also depends a little bit. So on the age of the orchard, I would also recommend if someone wants to try to use these living mulches. Yeah, this is some of the experience that we have made. And of course, you also always have to try different plant species. It's always also good if you have some local plant species just to make some small trials also. Depending on your soil composition, some plants perform better than others.
Michi, can you tell us where you did your trials? Was it in Switzerland? And if yes, was it in Fricktal, where FIBL is located? And maybe tell us a little bit about location.
So the trials that I was just describing were at Fibel in Frick in Switzerland. Yeah, so we have quite some heavy soil. Yeah.
So for this location, what would you recommend after your trials?
As I said, it's depending if you have a young or an old orchard. So with the young one, I think there we have one species. It's Potentilla reptans. So this is a species that is really ubiquitous. We have it in different orchards, and we have also used these plants, and they can perform really well in old but also in young orchards. Then another species was wild strawberries. It was also coming, the idea was from this domino project, and this was also performing quite good in the younger orchard.
I think that as examples, we can really recommend, for example, the wild strawberry, because this was a successful example in different trials under different environmental conditions with different soils. We had it in Poland, we had it, in, as Michael was mentioning, you know, in Switzerland, but also in central Italy, and also in France, even. You know, so that could be a species that could really fit very well for the purpose. But when I mentioned about the so-called eco-services that living mulches could provide, so these are services that are not do not have any direct economical impact to the farmer, but there are also services that could have a direct impact, so meaning increasing the income from the orchard. And this is when we can use as a living mulch, for example, an officinal plant, so an herb where we can that can be eventually collected and harvested to produce, for example, some for different uses. We were the wild strawberry is one of these, for example, because there is a lot of request in the market for not only the leaves, but also for some roots, because are used for making herbal teas. We use the alchemilla, we use the mint, and all of them are very highly requested. So it's an additional source of income for the farmer. And finally, I would say that also to have, let's say, a kind of circular economy, there are some plants that can be used in order to obtain some oil extracts, which can, or plant extracts, which can be used, for example, for plant protection directly into the orchard. There is the example of garlic that in the past was suggested to be used, let's say, as a plant to avoid or to reduce the risk of occurrence of aphids, which is important, but we found also that there are other plants that could be used for this purpose. For example, we were using with the mint, we found a different, let's say, infestation of several pests in our orchard. Actually, when you were entering into the orchard, you would feel on your own the perfume that was coming from the mint. And I think last, but sometimes not really the least, it's the possibility of having a species that can remediate the soil from the content of some, let's say, old organic pollutants. We tested, for example, pumpkin. We knew that pumpkin is a species that can uptake from the soil pollutants like DDT. And there has been here particularly in Poland, sometimes finding because of the past treatments, the soil containing DDT, so some problems with the certification. And so we wanted to test whether pumpkin could be grown as a mulch. And actually, it was growing quite well. It was also controlling the weeds. And at the same time, so if there is this problem in the soil, could be used to clean, as we say, the soil from these organic pollutants.
One thing important for the fruit growers, I think, is also when to sow or to plant the living mulch. So our experience in the southeast part of France is that in this in our sub-Mediterranean condition, the best period is in autumn, in October or November. And this is our experience of the last 10 years. So we have in different kind of trials, we have assessed sowing or planting in spring. or beginning of spring or beginning of autumn, sorry. And the best period is autumn because in the rain is more frequent and the soil is more easy to work with. And in spring, it can be good, but also it can be a disaster if it's the temperature increased too much and what there is no rain. So it's, for our point of view, it's more risky to try to sow or to plant in a spring condition. But it's all, I think it's possible to extrapolate this this result to the sub-Mediterranean condition, but I perhaps in more oceanic condition with water more spread during all the year. I mean, water available in spring, perhaps the situation is different.
What kind of tree row management techniques are there? So we heard already about living mulches, we heard about mulches. What else is there and what's the advantage and disadvantage of those techniques?
So maybe I can give some information about this. So besides the living mulches and also the mulches, there are also some mechanical treatments that are possible. And there we have quite a lot of different machineries that can be used. And also it's also depending if we do some soil tillage or if we don't do the soil tillage. And I would just start maybe with the machines that do the soil tillage. And also there we can differentiate between machines that are really active with some engine that drives the machine. But there are also some machineries that are really just passively used. And one big advantage of this mechanical tree row management where we have soil tillage is really just in spring times. Normally then the soil is quite cold. And with this mechanical tree row management, then we can also bring or warm up the soil. And with this, there is also going on some mineralization of nitrogen, because then the trees are really just starting growing and they also need some additional nutrients, especially nitrogen. So this can also help for the growth of the plants. And also one additional positive effect of this mechanical tree row management is also that we can incorporate, for example, organic material that we have given to the tree row. And this then also is somehow mineralized and can also be available to the trees. And there is also this kind of phytosanitary aspect, because if you're, for example, in an apple orchard where you have apple scab on the leaves, then if you incorporate these leaves, they can faster decompose. And like this, you have lower pressure for the coming season than also for this infestation with this disease. But of course, there are also some disadvantages. For example, it's also depending on the topography of your orchard. There can be also, if the soil is open, of course, we can have some problems with soil erosion if heavy rain is coming. And also if the soil is open during winter time, this can also have the effect that we have some leaching out of nutrients. So therefore, in organic cultivation in Switzerland, we really don't we say that the farmers, they don't have to do it in the winter time. So normally in Switzerland, the farmers, they do it at the beginning of the season. They do mechanical tree row management sometimes until summer times, and then they normally switch to another system. So normally then they do it without soil tillage. And also there we have different machineries that are used. So quite commonly used is a so-called string mower. So we have different strings that are rotating, and these rotating strings then just cut off the grass or other weeds that are in the tree row. And like this, you can manage this. And this is really recommended in the summertime until just before the wintering. So this can also be something positive. Maybe some negative aspect of this is also because these strings are normally made of plastic, and we also get some plastic that in the end just remains in the soil. So this is really some problem that we need to solve in the future, in my opinion. maybe also some aspect that I was not mentioning before is also the speed of this machinery. So normally the systems where we do some soil tillage, they are not very fast. So it's quite time consuming. And in the end, it's also quite cost intensive. So therefore, it's also a little bit the disadvantage of this system, I can say. Yes, I think these are more or less the recommendations and also the experiences in Switzerland. I don't know, maybe Claude-Éric, if I can ask you, how is the situation and the experiences in your location?
In France, most of the farmers, they use tillage as a way to manage the soil on the tree row. They use different kind of machine, different kinds of tools, because now we are the luck to have many, many different tools available. It was not the same situation 10, 15 or 20 years before. Now we have tools with a disc, with a wire, with brush, with many different, so we can really adapt the tools to the different situation. If you have an orchard in a steep zone or with big rocks on the stone on the in the orchard, so now it's more easy to find the good one, the more fitted to your situation. And of course, it is the tool that most of the farmer, I mean, tillage is a way to control the weed on the tree row, which is now the well known by the farmer. And so it's, I think for the moment, it's yes, it's in growing a living mulch in the tree row is more risky because than using a mechanical mowing or mechanical management of the tree row, for example, because we have a nice feedback of the different advantage and disadvantage of the different tools, so that it's more easy and less risky for the farmers to find the good one.
So with living mulches, it would be more like try and error for the farmers to find out what works in their orchard compared to mechanical measurements. Is that correct?
Yes, I think it's a more easy to find a mechanical tool adapted to your situation than choosing the good species, for example, to plant or to sow in a living mulch, because for the moment, we have less feedback concerning living mulch, but because of all the trials which were performed in the last 10 years and which are ongoing now, we are now able to start to propose interesting things, interesting living mulch to set up in orchards. But it's we have to take care and to say that it's only the beginning, but it's an interesting way for soil management in an organic orchard, and we will try to go in that direction.
So maybe I can add something to what Claude-Éric just said. So I think there was quite a lot of innovations for the machineries in the last, let's say, 10 to 15 years. And of course, the farmers now have a bigger choice of machines that they can use. And it's maybe easier for them. And as Claude-Éric said, to use a living mulch, you really need to try and to find really that it's not so easy to have the fine tuning for your local orchard. But as I think we heard from Elicho, there are many advantages of this living mulch, such as, for example, we have for beneficial insects, but also for pollinators, we have some habitat. And therefore, I think it's also quite important that we need to go on also with research in these aspects. And there are, we also heard many other positive effects. Somehow, I think we need to go again to the farmers and do on-farm trials also on different location. And I think, as we also heard, there is not that perfect option. I think you really have to adapt it to your local condition.
If I can add, Sophie, to this, I think to us it was a very good, experience seeing in an organic farm that is growing great, being in their vineyard. And they started with 1 meter length of this vines with having the wild strawberries growing on their own. And after a few years, they have now more than 6 hectares of the vineyard just covered on the row with this wild strawberries. But what was interesting for them and for us, I think, looking at the situation, the real situation in the field, was that first of all, they alone were saying that, you know, we are using a wild strawberry ecotype that is coming from our environment. So they go to the woods and take the plants and then plant. And now, of course, they are using their own plants to reproduce and to increase the land area that is covered there. Second, they developed a tool, a machinery tool, that helped them also in cutting the stolons that normally the strawberries are producing in order to, let's say, maintain the size of the coverage and not to allow the strawberry to grow all over the field. And third, I think, again, last but not the least, they mentioned and they showed us very nice pictures of these small strawberries that are there, you know, in the field. And this is also a marketing tool, I would say, because, you know, they are also selling directly their wine. And so during the summer period, when the tourists or the customers are coming, they see also the strawberries and they see the small, and they allow them also to get them to pick, they say, on their own. Of course, that must be then washed, but it is an additional, let's say, benefit that they said, you know, it's not a matter of the money that we can have from these few kilograms of strawberries that we can collect or we can, but it's the impact that the customer has and just a visual which helps selling our wine. So, and this also, it's should be also a little bit of a fantasy, let's say, and entrepreneurship by the farmers, the organic farmers, in exploiting as much as possible this agronomical opportunity.
We already heard a lot about living mulches, so now I would like to ask you to give me some concrete examples of living mulches species that work in certain conditions and with certain fruit species. Maybe, Claude-Éric, you can start.
Yes, of course. Yes, we have performed trials in the southeast part of France. So we have a sub-Mediterranean climate. So it means that we have about 800 millimeters rain per year, but it can be very variable according to year. And in spring, or especially in spring or in summer. But for example, in our condition, of course, the choice of, first, I have to say that the choice of the species really depends on the services you are expected. If you expect a release of nitrogen, of course, or if you prefer to have biodiversity, an habitat for biodiversity, for example, to attract beneficial insects, for example, you will not choose the same. So my first advice is to really be clear before choosing a species. What do you prefer? What is a priority? So, for example, in our case, we have really good covering of the soil with a kind of grass, which is Agrostis stolonifera. And it's the English name is a creeping bent grass. And it was we have observed it during more than 5 years in an experimental orchard. And we have a nice covering of the soil with very, very few weeds on the tree row. And we observed also the same kind of good ground covering with the marguerite, which is a ox-eye daisy or Leucanthemum vulgare. It's also a nice plant because of for the biodiversity, especially because of the flower, which are nice, but really attract a lot of beneficial insects. And it was incredible to see how many beneficial insects and other flies, for example, attracted by during the blooming period of Le Cantemum. And one of our favorite for the moment is Yarrow, which is Achillea millefolium. It's a really nice plant because it's not so easy. It's quite easy, sorry, to sow or to plant. We have tried both. And after 1 year and a half, it really depends also of the climatic condition, but the development at the beginning is it starts slowly, but after you have a very well and very nice covering of the soil. And it's plant is really clumpy. It's really dense, the vegetation. And so it's really avoid weed to grow on the tree row. And you have also the interest of the flower during the summer period, which attracts beneficial insects. So we have a nice feedback with this. So you have different species of Achillea. We are now in another trial. We are assessing one other species. And so in the future, we probably will have more results. When you choose a plant, you can really have different behavior also of the plant. For example, you have plants which can grow quickly at the beginning and then disappear. And then you have plants which the development of the plant is low at the beginning for the first year or second year. And after it's grow and it develop more and more. So it's really also important. It's really important to choose the best combination with, for example, Festuca. It's Festuca ovina is a poaceae. It's a grass, and it's the development is very long. But at the end, after 3 or 4 years, you have a very nice cover of the soil, very clumpy, no weed. Perhaps you have a bit of a competition for water availability. But if you look for something which is really which has a clumpy development on the tree row, it's really a nice one. But at the beginning, you have to mix with another species because the first 2 years, for example, it's not enough. And you have, for example, to mix with a clover, with a red clover, white clover, or another species which develop quickly to have a nice combination of the two characteristics of the species chosen.
So in the examples that you provided, the function of the living mulches is weed control. Are there other functions of living mulches, maybe of flower strips, where the function that you're looking for is increasing of biodiversity, increasing of nutrients availability or pollination?
If I can mention about that, actually, our idea was, you know, normally there is this suggestion, recommendation of having these flower strips around the orchard in order to have a kind of a reservoir for the beneficial insects. But then we thought, why do we need to waste maybe some land area, or maybe there is too big orchard where the beneficial would not reach the whole area of the orchard. So we used some mixtures made that are normally used also for flower strips to be grown as living mulches. And in this mixture, we had a different proportion of leguminous plants, so those that can also fix nitrogen. Then we had also plants which are flowering in different periods of the year, so to provide a kind of seasonal long support to the beneficials, because they also need to eat different times. And actually, this is also a possibility that we found quite successful under our conditions in Poland, also in an orchard which is, say, half age, I mean, about 8 years old, 9 years old. So also under this condition, it was very nice to see that also at the end of the season, some flowers, when we are there for harvesting the fruits, there are still some flowers flowering in the orchard, which makes also, I think, life better to live and even with this very high workload during harvest.
Yeah, and as we mentioned before in the core organic project Domino, the different partners, they also tested different plant species, some of them in monocultures, but also in combinations. And we also produced a nice brochure where we also have listed the different characteristics of these plant species. And as we also heard from Claude-Éric also to say what's the purpose of it. Is it more for the beneficial insects, for the pollinators, or if you can, you have additional uses like officinal plants. And I think there we also really just listed what were the experiences and also some recommendation if someone would like to try this living mulch on his own orchard.
I can also mention an interesting plant species we have assessed is Phuopsis stylosa. It's an interesting plant because of the covering of the soil, which is really, really good. And we have really good results. And in the frame of a project with Eligio, we are now also assessing the effect of the plant on the soil properties. And we have found some first interesting results. So perhaps it would be also nice to see in the future if this Phuopsis species will be a good one for to set up in the tree row. And yes, I wanted also to mention the effect. We talk about the advantage of the different plants on the tree row, but it's also important, I believe, to mention one of the main drawback for at least for farmers, for organic farmers in the southeast part of France, is the increase of the risk with the voles, Microtus species. And we have, when you have a living mulch or when you have whatever the species, when you have a plant, but especially leguminous plant in the tree row, it increases the risk of damage by voles, and it can destroy the crop by because the voles eat the root system, and it can lead to very big important damage. So it's also important for the farmer who want to test or to test a living mulch to take care of this and to know before if the risk of the development of voles is important or not. And perhaps I think it's also a rule for all living mulch. It's also perhaps to test in a small part of the orchard to test first the impact of this living mulch before spreading or before sowing or planting it in the wool orchards, because it's the development and the effect of the living mulch really depends of many factors, the climatic, but also the practices and the biodiversity and the pests you can have in the surrounding in the orchards. So it's really important to have a small test before, because it's in some cases it's complicated to extrapolate our results in other situations.
We heard now risks from the south of Europe. Are there other risks that are maybe specific to further northern regions in Europe, like Switzerland, Poland, or even further north than that?
So maybe I can say something about the situation in Switzerland. I think it goes in the similar direction as Claude-Éric was mentioning. I think wool is an important pest, and you really have to take care of it. So therefore, I also would recommend to the farmers to pay attention to this and also to start really on a small area and to see how it will develop. But maybe some other point I think that we did not discuss so far, also relating to living mulch, and also I think it was mentioning at the beginning to have some additional uses. I think also there is maybe a little bit of a conflict if you have or if you use direct plant protection with some products. So we really have to also to take care of this. If you want to use, for example, to sell some strawberries, or if you have some mint plants for some tea or some other uses, you really have to take care of this. Then maybe it's also recommendable if you use really some robust varieties with less need for direct plant protection, or maybe you just have to reduce the application of some products. I think this is one important point that I would also like to mention.
Eligio, do you want to add something? Do you want to have some final words?
Oh, well, I think that everything what was the pros and the cons of growing living mulches have been mentioned. You know, so there are a lot of pros, but of course, as any practice, you know, in agriculture, there are also some let's say attentions that must be taken in applying it. So as we said, all of us, you know, there is the need of choosing the right species that could be grown, depending also on the, let's say, on the goal that you want to achieve. There is also the need of taking care of what are the climatic conditions. So, but generally speaking, ecotypes that are, let's say, growing in the area, so they are, let's say, accustomed to the climate, to the so also the soil conditions. So these are those that are more suitable to be tested. As usual, we don't start with a little piece of the orchard and not with the whole orchard, just to avoid the risk of not a successful, let's say, application of the practice. And there are some other things that must be taken into control, as was mentioned, the voles, or just to avoid the risk of having some pesticide residues on a product that that is going to be used for consumption, for example. So that's, I think, all we could say. And then it's the farmer, let's say, intuition and knowledge that can come also into play and select what is the best solution for its own case. You know? Even just for the leguminous plants, you know, there are now several ecotypes that are available on the market as seeds. We have used, for example, micro clover. So it's just a white clover, but is growing about 1/3 of the normal size. So it gives less problems when it comes to the development of the plant, but it covers the soil very well. It has some problems at the beginning because it needs a little bit of water, as it was mentioned also already, for the normal clover, just to start growing. But then when this is taken care of, you have a floor like a carpet of your soil, which is also very nice with the white flowers throughout the season. It's always a matter of thinking and then verifying on our own and see what are the advices from those that have already eventually tried or from those that are carrying out the trials, and see also the trials. We always invite the farmers and advisor to see our trials or to see with their, and touch, let's say, with their hands. And we also learn from them, you know, about what are their concerns. In this case, we can also mention, as we have mentioned, let's say, so for the audience that will listen to this podcast, what should be consider in choosing a method, a practical agronomical practice that can be used for the management of the tree row in an organic orchard.
This was it from the first podcast episode of the project BioFruitNet. I hope you liked it and hear you next time.